You can't undo what can't be done in the first place. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you again, Barry. I always say that. Why? Maybe it's bad to be back with you. No, it really is good to be back with you here on the air. I'm only kidding about that. If it was bad, I wouldn't do it anymore.
I was going to say, you always have the option to quit.
That's right. That being said, we got some ground to cover today, so.
Well, we do, and there's some interesting stuff. And many of our listeners, I believe, are familiar with the fact that, about 8 years ago, we had a little thing going on in Ohio. It was a presidential election year then, too. But what we had going on in Ohio was a ballot issue one on the ballot, that would define marriage between a man and a woman. Well, those folks didn't pay enough attention to what was going on then. Let me just give you a piece of information. It passed. It was adopted by the voters and put into the Ohio Constitution by a vote of 63% in favor, 36 point something percent opposed. It was a pretty slam dunk for this amendment to go into Article 15 of the Ohio Constitution. Now, this amendment, and I'm going to remind you of the wording of it because it's important to what we're going to be talking about today. The amendment says, be it resolved by the people of the state of Ohio, that the Constitution of the state of Ohio be amended by adopting a section to be designated as Section 11 of Article 15 thereof to read as follows. Here's what it said. Article 15, Section 11. Only a union between one man and one woman may be a marriage valid in or recognized by this state and its political subdivisions. This state and its political subdivisions shall not create or recognize a legal status for relationships of unmarried individuals that intends to approximate the design, qualities, significance, or effect of marriage. A majority yes vote is necessary for passage, and it got a majority yes vote. So that's what's in our Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, in Ohio, called the Ohio Marriage Protection Amendment. And just this last week, Charles, as a matter of fact, this was an article out of our own Columbus Dispatch here in Central Ohio, dated Friday, August 24th by Alan Johnson, who is one of their political reporters, State House reporters. I know Alan. I think he attends Vineyard Christian Church, as a matter of fact. Headlined, Judge Refuses Lesbians a Divorce. And in the subheadline, Other Marriages of Gays Dissolved in County Court. With this article by Mr. Johnson, there is a picture of Judge Jim Mason, who is the judge in question refusing a divorce to two women who are in a same-sex relationship. And the question that Alan Johnson asks at the very beginning of the article, why was a lesbian couple's marriage dissolution rejected by a Franklin County judge when the same court granted to gay men a divorce days earlier? Well, Chuck, what do you think the answer to that is?
Well, I know what the answer is, and the answer is, since we've been talking about this now for days, and since you and I both worked on the marriage amendment, I know exactly what it is. It's the fact that it's illegal in Ohio, not only to grant a same-sex marriage license or do a ceremony with same-sex marriage. It's not even legal for the state to recognize same-sex marriage.
Yeah, or its political subdivisions. That's why I read the language of the amendment that was adopted by the people of Ohio. Political subdivisions would mean counties, which means Franklin County and Franklin County courts have to obey the state marriage amendment. Now, what happened was these two women, Laura Christina Thompson and Evangeline Grace Roller, came in after they had gone to Toronto, Canada, and were joined together in the Canadian version of homosexual marriage, which, let's state for the record, first and foremost, Chuck, for our listeners, although they've probably heard it from us before, there is only one thing that can be called marriage by the word of God, and that is the union of one man and one woman for life. That is marriage, and two women getting together or two men getting together because of their homosexual orientation does not constitute marriage. It doesn't matter what you call it, whether it's civil unions or partnerships or domestic partner, whatever you want to call it. It's still trying to approximate that one thing that isn't defined by a court, isn't defined by necessarily the people. It's been defined by God, and we reflect that in our policy.
Yeah, exactly. And In fact, in this case, Judge Jim Mason of Franklin County Domestic Relations Court refused on Wednesday to end their marriage. Well, he refused to end their marriage because it's not recognized here. They are not married. The fact that they ran off to a foreign country and got whoever did this, I'm guessing it was a civil ceremony, although I could be wrong. They may have found a liberal clergyman who was willing to spit in God's face and marry them. The fact is, they were not married. It doesn't matter if the guy was ordained or not. It doesn't matter whether it was done in a church or not. They are not married. They form some kind of a extra legal partnership. Let's not kid ourselves that there aren't people that are getting married in places and coming back and attempting to get divorces in places like Ohio, so that when a legal challenge comes up, they can say, see, they gave us a divorce, which means they recognized our marriage. And it's interesting because also contained in the story is another section that talks about Judge Donald A. Cox, a private court-appointed judge. I don't know what that means.
That means that he's possibly a retired judge or a visiting, that because of caseloads or vacations, the county actually goes and appoints them to sit as a special judge or special magistrate over a number of cases in domestic relations court. Let's say a judge gets sick or has a child who gets sick or has to be out of town or has to do continuing legal education, whatever it might be. They have to appoint a special judge. And Donald Cox, obviously, is somebody that the county court goes to be appointed. He probably keeps up his credentials, maybe not be an active judge. Now, I don't know that, but obviously Cox has not read the Ohio Constitution because he went exactly the opposite direction on another request for a divorce between two homosexuals, this time two male homosexuals, who were married in Iowa in 2009.
Well, that's not the only time. He also did it in March for two Columbus men.
Okay.
So it's pretty obvious that this guy... Now, let's give his reason, though. In his ruling, Cox determined that he had jurisdiction despite Ohio's same-sex marriage ban. When a couple is married in a state that permits same-sex unions, he said, Ohio's statute merely states that the marriage has no legal force or effect in Ohio. He said it does not prohibit Ohio courts from granting a divorce. Yes, it does. This is one of those cases, Barry. On our yesterday show, I talked about the fact that lawyers play lion tamer with words and equivocate and make words do what they're not supposed to do. And here we have it. This Donald A. Cox has basically taken it upon himself to redefine the meaning of the words in the marriage amendment and says, oh, of course I have jurisdiction. All it does is say that marriage has no legal force or effect in Ohio. In other words, what he's saying two different things in one sentence. He's saying the marriage wasn't legal, but I'm going to legalize the divorce.
Absolutely. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, Mr. Cox owns a company called Judicial Alternatives. And I thought the name sounded familiar, Chuck, and when I went and looked up his LinkedIn profile online, he was a judge here in my own home county of Gallia County in our Common Pleas Court at one time. But he since then moved and created a private business, basically a judicial consulting practice called Judicial Alternatives. They provide mediation and arbitration services and also conduct private domestic hearings. So I assume that our courts now have the opportunity to, when their caseloads get too big, to farm them out to private judges.
Okay, you want the real truth, I think, in this case. Judges in the jurisdiction looked at it and said, I don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Well, that could very well be, but I'm glad that one judge actually did. Judge Jim Mason. Now, I know Jim Mason a little bit. He used to be a state legislator. I think he represented the Lancaster area when he was in the legislature. Now, I may have that location wrong, but he was a former state legislator when I was on staff in the Ohio House. And then he was appointed as a judge. And this is the first time I've really heard about anything from him from the bench, but I'd have to say he got this one right because he read the text of the amendment.
Okay, here's another word tamer. Columbus attorney Thomas J. Edessa, who represented one of the plaintiffs in an earlier quote-unquote divorce in an earlier case, in that case said he has handled several same-sex divorces in recent months and they were approved by the courts. Well, okay, that's been flying under the radar, and frankly, people should start getting outraged and start bringing actions over this, because what's going to happen next is this is going to turn into a lawsuit requiring that be thrown out by court. by that I mean the marriage amendment, is they're going to try to bypass it using this logic. But listen to this logic. He said he was not involved in the two women's case, but in his opinion, Judge Mason was dead wrong, quote unquote. My argument would be the court does have jurisdiction because our statute and amendment say nothing about a divorce. We need not invalidate Ohio's amendment or statute to grant somebody a divorce. Barry, it says shall not be recognized.
That's right. Shall not be recognized. And as we've talked about on this program before, when dealing with legislation, when you use the term shall, it's directive. And shall not is very directive in the negative direction. It doesn't say that you have the option of whether you recognize it or not. It's saying you cannot recognize it, period. And this is our Ohio Constitution, which is binding on our judges and also binding on Judge Donald Cox, who I just found out by doing a little research while we were talking, Chuck, only served on the bench for 7 years. He started at the age of 30, elected to the bench at the age of 30, and retired at age 37 to open judicial alternatives and pursue a career in alternative dispute resolution.
Well, sure, it's more lucrative than being a judge.
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
Let's not kid ourselves here. You can make a lot more money being a private arbitrator, which is what he is. And that's what makes me think that basically this is also activism on the make. Listen here and see what you get out of this. Odessa said he thinks Mason's decision denies a constitutional right to equal access to the courts.
Well, that's just absolutely ridiculous, Chuck, because they have equal access to the courts if they have a actionable cause. I can't go to the courts and sue you unless I have an actionable cause, Chuck. And if a judge would throw out my specious claim, I can't turn around and sue him for denying me equal access.
Now we go into the emotional rhetoric that we can always expect in these cases. Ian James, co-founder of Freedom Ohio, the group backing a plan to ask Ohio voters to repeal the ban on same-sex marriage, said rolling back the law is necessary to provide equal opportunity in the courts. Quote, the marriage ban not only forbids those who are in love from seeking a commitment to marry, but also has the unintended consequence of denying those who have fallen out of love the ability to divorce.
Well, you know, Chuck, I see what's going on here because James and his folks, the Freedom Ohio group, are actually working right now to collect signatures to try to repeal the Ohio Marriage Amendment. That's Article 15, Section 11 of our Ohio Constitution, the same constitutional amendment the voters passed overwhelmingly years ago, and that Judge Mason is correctly applying by saying that because of the amendment, the court has no jurisdiction over this, regardless of where they got it, because, number one, we don't recognize it. It is invalid in the state of Ohio. That's the whole point. This has gone on ever since the amendments first started getting some traction when it was being discussed, because you had couples who were going to Massachusetts, Vermont, Hawaii, Iowa, Canada, all to come back, and each one of them have tried to sue Ohio to recognize their quote-unquote marriage, which I call their paper sham. And so far, every one of them has been turned back because people of Ohio stated clearly with the marriage amendment, we don't recognize that here. We talk about full faith and credit, Chuck, in our Constitution classes. This is one where the full faith and credit would be given unless the state has a strong public policy opposing it. Ohio's constitutional amendment is a strong public policy opposing any kind of sham paper agreement that would try to approximate marriage.
And again, those Christians out there did this yesterday. I'm going to do it again today. Those Christians out there that voted for Barack Obama because of this reason or that reason or some other reason, not only did you get a president who supports infanticide, you got a president who basically opposes traditional marriage, strongly opposes traditional marriage to the point where he has told his attorney general not to support a law, and he is not enforcing a law on the books called the Federal Protection of Marriage Act that even Bill Clinton signed in 1996, I think.
So, yes.
Now, Barry, to show you how prejudiced this article is, how one-sided, here is what the argument that we've been making this entire program gets. One paragraph. The Ohio Campaign to Protect Marriage, the group that spearheaded the successful marriage ban, has argued that Ohio courts cannot grant same-sex divorces because that would, by default, acknowledge that the couples were married.
Exactly.
That's the end of it.
Yes.
Now, okay, where are the experts? Where are the interviews? Where are the quotes? There aren't any.
I'll take up a little defense of Alan Johnson. I've known him for years. He is usually pretty fair and straightforward, and he attempts to get quotes from everybody. However, he probably, since knowing, and I know he's talked, because the Ohio Campaign to Protect Marriage, Phil Burris, who's the president of Citizens for Community Values, also heads up the Ohio Campaign to Protect Marriage, I know he's talked to Phil on numerous occasions on this, and he's talked to me on it. And that's been the position all along, is read the language of the amendment. If you cannot recognize it, if you are banned from recognizing it, to say, well, we're going to grant a divorce, in toto recognizes that there was a legitimate marriage that gets a divorce in Ohio. It doesn't follow.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say, on one hand, they can't get allowed to get married here, but they can get divorced here.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Well, with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.